Welcome to Witness Wednesday. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Wood, with the LCMS Office of National Mission here in a KFUO, worldwide KFUO studios with Andy Bates.
Good morning.
Good morning, Andy.
It's good to be here in the worldwide KFUO studios at the International Center, where we get to, have great conversation. We get to encourage one another. And also, you're doing lots of work for our districts or congregations when it comes to witness and outreach, traveling all the time, doing workshops for districts, congregations, groups. And sometimes you get a couple of weeks here to actually work in your little think tank office there and do some writing as well.
Yeah, it's always nice to be home for a little while and get some things done. But it's also great to be out on the road. Last week, I had the privilege of attending a rather unique conference. It was LCMS Ethiopian Pastors. Now, these are men who once lived in Ethiopia, associated with the Mekane Yesu Church there, who have immigrated to the United States and now are working here, primarily in and among the Ethiopian immigrants. But as we talked about how we can work together, we're looking at reaching out beyond their own ethnic group to bringing the gospel to new people here in America.
And so they left their homes to come be missionaries here?
Well, they immigrated. Mm-hmm. They're primarily serving their own immigrant communities. But, you know, God does what God does. And they see the great need, the great spiritual need in our country. And they're not satisfied with just keeping the gospel among Ethiopians. They want to see the gospel go out into the communities, which they now call home. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if you know much about the Mekane Yesu Church, but it's an amazing church in Ethiopia. 7.2 million Lutherans make up this church body. Hmm. In the last year, they've gained 500,000 new members. They have some really amazing challenges. Some people would say, well, this is a good problem to have, is that their growth in members is outpacing their ability to produce pastors. 500,000 new members, only 300 new pastors in the last year. So one of the things that the LCMS has been asked to do is to help them produce faithful, confessional Lutheran pastors. And our seminary professors have been over there helping them with their seminary. They have one main seminary, five regional seminaries, to try to produce the pastors they need to serve the people right there in Ethiopia. Now, you combine that with United Nations now saying that Ethiopia and Nigeria are on track to become two of the fastest growing nations in the world, and by 2050 will rival India and China in population.
Wow.
So it's just an amazing growth, both in terms of the nations, but amazing growth of the church in Ethiopia. 7.2 million Lutherans. Now, keep that in perspective. The LCMS is about 2.2 million members in the United States. Hmm. It's almost 10% of the Ethiopian population members of the Mekane Yesu Church, a Lutheran church body.
And so they are just growing rapidly.
Right. It's a season of reaping, a season of harvest. And as I reflected on that last week, as I listened, as I prepared for this meeting and listened during the meeting, it got me to thinking about John chapter 4. You know, John chapter 4 is often held up, and rightly so, as an example of how to go about witnessing. We have Jesus going to a Samaritan village, and in that Samaritan village, he goes out at noon, and he sits at the well, Jacob's well, while his disciples go into town to buy some food. Maybe Whataburger, Jack in the Box, something. Mm-hmm. You know, they're on the road, so they have to get some food. But Jesus sits at the well, and that's a little unusual to just sit there by himself at this well. But what's more unusual is this woman comes out in the middle of the day to get water, because people didn't draw water in the middle of the day. It's hot. Mm-hmm. You didn't come by yourself, first of all. Women didn't travel alone. And it was very obvious she was going out there to avoid people. So she goes out there and, you know, when you're trying to avoid people, you don't want to run into people. but Jesus wanted to run into her. And so, you know, we see all sorts of examples and things we could talk about here of, you know, how he crossed over cultural lines, how he broke social taboos in order to engage this woman in conversation, how he peered into her life and exposed this need, you know, and then addressed that need, how he avoided getting into the distracting discussion about, you know, we worship on this mountain and you worship in Jerusalem, but, you know, to keep it focused on her need and how he came to bring her living water. And but I want to go a little bit back past that part of the narrative to when the disciples come back and they're kind of confused, you know, what is Jesus talking to this woman? You know, they don't say anything, of course, but they're confused. They're kind of like us. You know, we see things, we don't say anything. We don't want to say anything, but this doesn't seem right. This is all kind of confusing. And then Jesus takes the opportunity to teach them. So the woman goes back into town and she says to everybody, you know, hey, could this be the Messiah? He's told me everything I've ever done. And I think it's him. And they're like, yeah, let's go out and see this. And he sees these people coming down the hillside and he turns to his disciples and says, you say, you know, it's 3 more months until the harvest, but I tell you, the fields are white with harvest right now. In other words, he's saying, look, look at all these people coming out here. Yeah. It's harvest time. Don't think you have to wait. Don't concern yourself with the planting, the sowing. It's time to harvest. But he goes on to say something that really is an allusion to Amos, the prophet Amos in chapter 9, verse 3, where the reapers will overtake the sowers and they'll rejoice together. And it's a picture of the promised Messiah coming where, you know, there are no seasons without fruitfulness. There are no times where we go without. The Messiah brings abundance. Now, obviously, there's a spiritual promise being made there. It's not talking about, it's not the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. And Jesus wants his disciples to understand, you have joined into their labor, he says. Oh, whose labor? Well, the prophets, the people of the old covenant, the people who have done all the sowing. You know, they've plowed and they've sowed. And guess what? Now it's harvest time. Just look. See, it's there. Well, I think Ethiopia is a prime example of that. Look at the sowing for generations that took place. Missionaries going over to Africa. Actually, you can go all the way back to the book of Acts if you want to see the sowing that was taking place in Ethiopia, you know, with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. I mean, but how does this tremendous growth come about now? Why is there this huge harvest now? Because of the sowing, because of the nurturing. Or as we say, you know, the Bible puts it in 1 Corinthians 3, the planting and the watering, and now God is causing the growth.
So what is that planting and watering?
All right, well, it's the, you know, the word going out. And over again, Jesus talks about the word like being a seed and going into the ground. And, you know, said in one parable, he says, the farmer, whether he's awake or asleep, the seed grows. He doesn't understand how it all happens. He just knows that it does. And so he goes out and sows with the expectation of a harvest. In fact, that the harvest begins in the sowing. If no farmer would say, well, you know what, I'm going to skip plowing and sowing this year and just wait for the harvest. All the other stuff's real hard work. That you probably wouldn't be in agribusiness very long if that was your approach.
You're not going to have much of a harvest.
Well, now that got me thinking about the United States, our own nation and our own culture and our attitude about it. And I wonder if our attitude isn't, let's go harvest, let's go harvest, let's go harvest. When I think we've really neglected the sowing, and we've neglected it for a long time. Now, I'm not trying to make people feel guilty, but just maybe I am. But take a look at your own life. How much sowing have you really done? How much sharing of God's word have you done in your everyday life with the people you work with, your family members, your neighbors, the moms in the mom group, you know, the the people you play sports with, or sit in the stands as your children play sports. How much sowing have you done?
But sowing may not be very gratifying if I don't get to see the fruits of that labor.
Right. But think of what Jesus said to his disciples here. Others have done that hard work. You're sharing in their labor. He chose some to do the sowing, some to do the nurturing, and others to do the reaping. Now, whose choice is that? Well, we'd like it to be our choice. We want to pick. But look around America today. Are we seeing a great harvest? I mean, we see it in Ethiopia. We're seeing it in China. I just read in the news today that that Chinese Christians now number something like 100 million, where the Communist Party in China numbers about 88 million. In other words, in communist China today, Christians outnumber communists. Well, you know, the communists aren't too happy about this. You know, they're taking down churches. They're taking down churches. They're removing crosses. They're starting to persecute the church very openly. So and they expect more. But we're seeing a harvest there. But how long have people been sowing? How long have people been nurturing? So I'm afraid in our typical American way of doing things, we want instant results. You know, we want to just pour the hot water over the ramen noodles and have dinner. But are we in a time of harvest, or are we in a time of sowing?